head over the line. Where are you? 44. I stumbled through the caverns underneath Ildithia, passing walls blasted open with the tensors, leaving scattered piles of sand. The glow sticks gave the tunnels a radioactive cast. I stopped, steadying myself during another tremor, then continued toward the nook where Mizzy had dragged Cody. Was that them ahead? No. I pulled up short. Light poured through a rent in the air, like cut flesh where the skin had curled to the sides. Through it, I saw another cavern, this one lit by a lively orange light. Inside, Firefight struggled against Loophole. I gaped, watching the woman I'd just killed shrink and run from him while causing a set of falling rock chips to become boulders. Firefight zipped backward, his flames heating the rocks to a reddish orange. I looked down the passage and glimpsed other rents in the air. Megan had been pushing herself, it seemed. I gulped and continued toward Mizzy. A flash of light to my left illuminated figures struggling in the shadows, a section of the cavern network beyond where Mizzy had placed her glow sticks. Prof suddenly appeared a little ways down the cavern, forming like light coalescing. He was using obliteration's powers to teleport. Sparks! Even as he appeared, a section of the roof collapsed. Not an illusion this time, an actual rockfall, which Prof was forced to catch with a force field above his head. He bellowed with rage, holding up the fallen rocks, then sent a few lances of light off into the distance. They'd both been forced, it seemed, to grasp for dangerous resources. Prof using his hidden teleportation device, Megan reaching further and further into other realities. How far had she gone? What if I lost her, as I'd lost Prof? Steady, I thought at myself. She'd been certain she could handle it. I had to trust her. I ducked my head and scrambled down a side tunnel, eventually spotting bloodstains on the stones. I rounded another corner, then stumbled to a halt as I almost tripped over Mizzy and Cody. He lay on the ground with eyes closed, his face pale. Mizzy had needed to pull off most of the tensor suit to get at his wounds. It was piled in a heap nearby, the harm's way portion detached, but with wires extended to his arm. Mizzy yelped when she saw me, then snatched the motivator from my limp fingers. She plugged it back into the vest. Nighthawk, I said over the line, you really need to secure those motivators better.
It's a prototype, he grumbled. I built it to have quick access so I could tweak motivators as needed. How was I to know Jonathan would yank the things out?
Mizzy glanced at me as the harm's way glowed softly.
Sparks, David! You look like you fell off a cliff or something!
I wiped my nose, which was still bleeding. My face was starting to swell from the beating I'd taken. I slumped down next to Mizzy, exhausted.
How's the fight going?
Your girlfriend is kinda amazing, Mizzy said grudgingly. Abraham keeps getting locked up in force fields, but she gets him out. Together they're keeping Prof busy.
Does she seem... crazy?
Mizzy said. Can't tell.
She looked to Cody, whose wounds were, blessedly, closing.
He'll be out for a while yet. Hope the other two can last. I'm out of boom packs too, I'm afraid. So maybe...
Someone exploded into existence next to us. A sudden burst of light. Silent. But stunning if you watched it. I shouted, falling backward, and reached for the handgun strapped to my leg. It wasn't Prof. Unfortunately, that left only one other option. Obliteration turned, his trench coat sweeping the side of the cavern. He looked from Mizzy to Cody to me, studying us with bespectacled eyes.
"I've been summoned," he said.
"Yeah,"
I said, hands trembling as I held my gun on him.
"Prof, he has a motivator built from your flesh."
"To destroy the city?" Obliteration asked, head cocked. "She made a bomb beyond those she gave me."
"Those she gave you?" I asked. "So, you do have more?"
"Of course," Obliteration said calmly. You are fallen, David Charleston.
He shook his head, then disappeared, leaving behind an image made of ceramic that broke apart and faded. I relaxed.
Then Obliteration appeared beside me, hand on my gun. It was suddenly hot, and I shouted, fingers singeing as I dropped the weapon.
Obliteration kicked it aside, kneeling next to me.
And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come, he whispered.
He flinched as distantly. Prof must have teleported.
Then he grinned, closing his eyes.
Sparks!
He seemed to like the feeling.
The hour has come for you to die, and for this city to be destroyed. I regret that I cannot give you more time.
He placed his hand against my forehead, and I felt warmth coming from his skin.
I'm going to kill Calamity, I blurted out.
Obliteration opened his eyes. The heat dampened.
What did you say?
Calamity, I said. He's an epic, and he's behind all of this. I can kill him. If you want to bring about Armageddon, wouldn't that be the perfect way? Destroy this terrible, angel? Creature? Spirit?
That sounded religious, right?
He is far away, little man, Obliteration said, contemplative. You will never reach him.
You can teleport there, though, right?
Impossible. Calamity is too distant for me to form a proper picture of its location in my mind, and I cannot go to a place I haven't seen or cannot visualize.
How did you get in here, then?
Sparks. Had he been watching us somehow?
That didn't matter. Hands still trembling, I reached into my pocket and unhooked my mobile. I brought it out and turned to him, displaying Regalia's image of Calamity.
What if you have a picture?
Obliteration whispered softly, eyes wide.
And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition.
He blinked, looking at me.
Again you surprise me. If you defeat your former master and impress me in so doing, I will grant your desires.
He exploded into a flash again, and this time he didn't immediately return. I groaned, leaning against the wall, shaking my burned hand.
Calamity, what is up with that man?
Mizzy asked, sliding her sidearm into its holster. It took her 3 tries. Her hand was trembling so much.
I thought we were dead.
Yeah, I said. I half expected him to murder me for the audacity of claiming I wanted to kill Calamity. I figured it was even odds that he worshipped the thing instead of hating it. I peeked around the corner, looking down a tunnel that shone with rents and rips into other dimensions.
Abraham just went down, Nighthawk said in my ear. Repeat, Abraham is down. Jonathan sheared his arm off, or Teach attached, with a force field.
Sparks, I said. Megan?
Hard to see, Nighthawk said. I've only got 2 crab cameras left. I think you're losing this fight, guys.
We were losing it before we started, I said, turning and crawling to the tensor suit.
Mizzy, some help?
She looked at the suit, then at me, eyes widening. She scrambled over, then helped me start putting it on.
Cody should be stable now. That harm's way is something.
Unhook it and attach it back to the tensor suit, I said. Nighthawk, how much can your drones lift?
About 100 pounds each, he said. I work them in tandem for heavier things. Why?
Bring some down, grab Cody, pull him out. Is Abraham still alive?
Don't know,
Nighthawk said.
His mobile is still on him, though, so I can show you his location.
I looked at Mizzy, and she nodded, plugging the wires from the harm's way into the vest of the tensor suit, which I was now wearing.
I'll find him, she said, and stabilize him until you can get back with this.
Get the drones hooked to Cody first.
Assuming I can get drones into you, Nighthawk said. Jonathan's military has the place surrounded up above. They don't seem too eager to come down and join the fight.
and get between two high epics, I said. They'll stay back unless directly ordered. They know what happened to the soldiers at Sharp Tower. I'm surprised he was able to get even Loophole to come down here after that.
Yeah, Mizzy said. She looked overwhelmed, hands still trembling. I didn't feel much better myself, though with a jolt, I felt the harm's way engage. My pains faded.
Get out of here, Mizzy, I said. You've done what you can. Try to get Abraham and Cody to safety. I'll bring the harm's way for Abraham as soon as I can. If I don't make it, set up with Nighthawk.
She nodded.
Good luck, David. I'm glad I didn't shoot you in Babalar.
I smiled, yanking on first the right tensor glove, then the left.
You going to be able to make it work? Mizzy asked. Without practice?
The lights on the gloves lit up a deep green. I felt their hum course through me, a distant melody that had once been precious to me, yet one I'd somehow forgotten. I released it, reducing the stone wall nearby to a wave of dust.
Feels like coming home, I said.
In fact, I felt almost good enough to face a high epic.
45.
I sprinted through the tunnel, passing shimmering rips on either side, windows to other worlds. Several were to Firefight's realm, but others, fainter, misty, and less distinct, looked farther away. There were worlds where unfamiliar figures fought in these tunnels, or where the place was completely dark, and even worlds where there were no tunnels here, just rock. The tensors hummed on my hands, eager. It was as if the powers themselves knew I was trying to save Prof. They sang me a battle hymn. As I reached the chamber where I'd seen Prof earlier, I let out a burst of vibrating energy, dispelling the rock of a ledge before me, creating a set of dust-covered steps that I strode down. Prof glowed green in the center of the chamber. The sleeves of his coat rolled back to expose forearms covered with dark hair. He turned on me, then laughed.
"David Charleston," he said, his voice booming in the chamber. "Steel Slayer! Come to finally take responsibility for what you began in New Kago? Have you come to pay?"
The floor here was pocked with tensor holes, and those alternated with piles of rubble and dust that had collapsed from the ceiling. Sparks! This place was a few breaths and a modest bass beat away from a cave-in. I stepped up before him, hoping I could make the suit's force fields work. Where was Megan? She'd be reborn if she'd died, so that didn't worry me as much as the existence of all these tears in reality. One of them hovered nearby, darkness visible only because of the shimmering at its sides. Megan stepped out of it. I jumped. Sparks, it was her, but a strange version of her. Blurry. Because it's not just one of her, I realized. I wasn't looking at one Megan, but hundreds, overlapping one another, each similar but somehow individual. A freckle in a different place, hair that parted another way, eyes too pale here or too dark there. She smiled at me. A thousand smiles.
"I've got Abraham," Mizzy said. "He's alive, but it would be real nice if you kept the harm's way safe, David. If you want Abraham back to one piece, at least. Pulling out now."
"Roger," I said, looking at Prof. His clothing was dusty, ripped. He'd bled and healed from multiple cuts on his face. One hadn't healed, a place where Cody had hit him with the powers somehow. Beleaguered though he was, Prof didn't seem afraid. He stood tall, confident. Four glowing lances of light appeared around him.
"The price, David," Prof said softly.
He released the lances, driving them toward me. I was able to vaporize them with the tensors, which shattered the force fields to tiny specks. They sprayed across me before twinkling away. Not content to get pushed around, I charged Prof, trying to summon force fields of my own. All I got were a few shimmers of green, ripples like light reflecting off a pond. Crud.
Prof sent a second set of spikes. But, like Cody, I was familiar enough with the tensors to stop these as well. I leaped over a pit in the ground, then slammed my hand on the floor, opening up a gap with a blasting hum. Prof dropped a mere inch before landing on a disc of green light. He shook his head, then flung his hand toward me, sending a gout of tensor energy that dropped the ground out from beneath me, as I'd done to him. I frantically tried to create a force field to land on, but only got another shimmer of light. Then an instant later the hole wasn't as deep, and I hit bottom 3 feet down. Megan stood beside the hole. "There are many worlds where he did not dig deep enough with that blast," she said, her voice overlapped by 100 whispers. Prof growled, charging me and summoning spears of light, one after another. I hopped out of the hole, falling in beside Megan, destroying the spikes where I could. Each time I did so, Prof winced.
"So, how do we fight him?" Megan asked in overlapping voices. "All I've been able to do is distract him. Is the plan still to make him confront his fears somehow?"
"Not sure, honestly," I said, thrusting my hands in front of me and straining. Finally, I produced a force field wall. It was kind of like using the tensors in reverse. Instead of releasing a hum, I let it build up inside me until it coalesced.
"How much can you alter?" I asked, looking at Megan. "Little things," she said. "Reasonable things. My powers haven't changed. I just know them. David, I can see worlds. So many worlds."
She blinked, an action that seemed to trail infinite shadows of eyelids.
"But they're all ones that are nearby. It's amazing, yet frustrating. It's like I can count as many numbers as I want, but only if they happen to be between 0 and 1. Infinity, yet still bounded."
Prof shattered our force field, then raised his hands, causing the ceiling to shake. I summoned the tensor powers as I anticipated his move. Indeed, he tried to bring the ceiling down on us by vaporizing a ring of rock, dropping a large stone in the center. I vaporized the chunk right above us. We were showered with dust, and the way it fell on Megan proved she was here and real, not a shadow, as a piece of me had feared. Prof winced again.
"I'm using his power, and it hurts."
"All right, I have a plan," I said to Megan.
"Which is?"
"To run," I said, turning and dashing out of the main chamber into a side tunnel. Megan cursed, following. We ran side by side, and I engaged the tensors, vaporizing ribbons of stone along our path. I wasn't sure what I could do to change him or make him return to us. All of my plans had failed so far. The best thing I could do at the moment was keep the suit working and keep him in pain. Behind us, Prof roared. He teleported in front of us, but I simply grabbed Megan by the hand and turned the other direction while disintegrating the force field Prof tried to use to trip us up. We ran into a tunnel without any light, but glow sticks appeared a second later, summoned by Megan from a realm where Mizzy had lit this place. When Prof teleported in front of us again, red-faced and snarling, I turned us back the other way, unrelentingly using the suit's powers on random stones we passed. Each use of the tensors was driving him further into a fury. "I've been here before," I thought, feeling the echoes of another event, another fight, driving an epic to anger. Prof appeared again, and this time Megan reacted first, yanking me to the side as spears of light, faster than I could track, struck like blades around us.
"Sparks! I barely stopped them. Maybe this wasn't such a good plan."
"This is always how you are," Prof shouted. "No thought, no concern for consequences. Don't you worry about what will happen. Don't you ever think about failure."
He teleported in front of us as we tried to flee, but a second later, a rock wall created by Megan separated us.
"This isn't working," she said.
"Well, technically it is. I mean, my plan was just to run."
"Okay, I revise. This isn't going to work for very long. Sooner or later he'll trap us. What's your end game?"
"Make him mad," I said.
"And?" Hope, that makes him afraid? We were desperate, scared, frantic when we faced our weaknesses. Maybe he has to be in the same state.
She gave me a skeptical look that, reflected through all of her shadows, was even more formidable than usual. The wall near us melted away to powder. I gathered the energy of the tensors, preparing to be attacked by a series of force field spears, but Prof wasn't behind the wall anymore. Huh? He crashed into existence behind us and seized me by the arm with one hand. With the other, he tried to vaporize the motivators on my vest. I yelped and let out a blast of tensor power, directly down, carving out the rock beneath me and dropping me lower a few feet. The sudden motion lurched me out of Prof's grip and made his blast pass over my head. I vaporized the ground below him, and by reflex he created a force field to stand on, so I wriggled through the dust underneath him. He had to twist to see me, but that left him open to Megan, who, of course, shot him. It didn't have much effect. He was protected, as always, by thin, invisible force fields around his whole person. Her shots did distract him long enough for me to crawl out from underneath the disc on the other side. There, I raised my handgun and started firing as well. He turned on me, annoyed, and I hit him with a blast of tensor power, dissolving his force fields. Megan's gunshots began to chew chunks out of him, and he cursed, flashing away. Megan stepped up to me, her face blurred by 100 different identities. "We don't have the weakness right, David." "His own powers could hurt him," I said, "and the tensor leaves him able to be shot." "He heals from those shots immediately," she said, "and getting hit with tensor power doesn't disrupt his abilities as much as it should. It's like we have part of the weakness right, but don't grasp the entire thing. And that's why he's not turning. Confronting the powers must not be enough." I couldn't argue. She was right. I sensed it inside, with a sinking feeling. "So what now?" I asked. "Any ideas?" "We have to kill him." I drew my lips to a line. I wasn't sure we could do that. And even if we could kill him, it felt like in so doing, we might win the battle, but lose the war. Megan glanced at my gun. "You're reloaded, by the way." My gun suddenly felt a bit heavier. "That's convenient. Can't help thinking there should be more I can do than reload guns and replace walls. I can see so much. It's overwhelming." "We need to pick one thing for you to change," I said, holding my gun and watching for Prof to reappear. "Something very useful." "A weapon," she said, nodding. "Abraham's minigun?" She smiled. Then that smile became an almost girlish grin. "No, that's thinking too small." "That gun is too small? Woman, I love you." "Actually," she said, turning her head to look at something I couldn't see, "there is a very close world where Abraham ran ops for our team."
"What does that have to do with guns? You..."
I cut off as the cavern shook. I spun, then stumbled back as the entire wall of the tunnel, dozens of feet along, turned to dust in an incredible burst of power. Prof stood beyond, and he'd been busy. Hundreds of spears of light hovered around him. We'd been talking. He'd been planning. I shouted, thrusting my hand forward and releasing tensor power as the spears came for us. I got the first wave and most of the second, but my blast ran out as the third bore down upon us. They got caught in a reflective, silvery metallic surface that formed a shield in front of us. Megan grunted, holding the mercury steady, blocking the next two waves of impact.
"You see?"
she said, now bearing the glove that controlled the Urteach.
"In a world where Abraham leads the team, someone else has to learn to use this."
She grinned, then grunted at another impact.
"So, we going to bring him down?"
I nodded, feeling sick. "At the very least, we need him afraid. That's the path that led us to change. We were terrified, facing death. Only when we were in serious danger did confronting our fears work."
It felt wrong, like I was still missing something. But in the chaos of the moment, it was the best I could do.
"Time to be a little brash," she said, holding out the Irtych in one hand, gun in the other.
"Foolhardy," I agreed, hefting my own gun.
"Reckless." I nodded to her, took a deep breath, and we attacked. Megan lowered her shield, letting the Irtych crawl back up her arm. I sent out another wave of tensor power, and we ran through it, firing like madmen. The guns seemed mundane compared to the deific powers spinning about us, but they were familiar, dependable, solid. We interrupted Prof in the middle of raising another wave of light spears. His eyes widened and his jaw lowered, as if he was befuddled to see the two of us coming right at him. He swept his hand forward, summoning a large force field to block us, but I crashed through it with a tensor burst, and Megan followed.
"Fine,"
he said, pounding his hand into the ground. Rock vaporized around it, and he pulled out a large rod of stone. He stepped forward, slamming it toward Megan, who caught it on her arm with the Irtych. The mercury ran down onto Prof's arm, holding him in place as I arrived to send a burst of tensor power at him, intending to follow it with a few shots to the face. Prof, however, matched my invisible blast with one of his own. They canceled one another out, crashing together with a sound that made my ears pop. I skidded to a halt, then shot him in the face anyway. I mean, it had to be distracting, right? Even if the bullets bounced off. Maybe I could get one stuck in his nose or something. He growled, yanking his fist free of the Irtych and shoving Megan away. He swung his bar toward me, but I managed to vaporize it. Then, I dumped about half a ton of dust on him from the ceiling, making him slip and stumble. When he righted himself, Megan came in with the Irtych, coating her hand, arm, and side to give power, then slammed her fist into his face. Even with the force fields, Prof cursed and stumbled backward. Megan came in, and he vaporized the ground in a deep hole that must have emptied into a cavern far beneath us. But Megan formed the Irtych into a long rod and caught herself with it spanning the hole. I slammed into Prof, shoulder first, sending him skidding through the dust. I knelt, giving Megan a hand, and yanked her out of the hole. Together, we went at him again. She'd apparently reloaded our guns, because I didn't run out of bullets. And when Prof vaporized my gun, she tossed me another one, almost identical, that she'd pulled from an alternate dimension. She was amazing with the Irtych, commanding it along her body like a rippling second skin, blocking, attacking, bracing herself at other times. I kept Prof's footing uneven, and when I could, vaporized his force fields, letting us pound him with bullets. The fight felt strangely perfect for a time. Megan and I working side by side, voicelessly, each anticipating the other's moves. Incredible powers at our disposal, weapons in our hands. Together we forced a much more experienced epic to retreat. For a moment, I let myself believe we would win. Unfortunately, Prof's healing powers kept spitting our bullets out. We weren't negating those, not well enough. Megan shot for his head, not holding back, and I didn't stop her. But that attack failed like the others. We ended up in one of the main chambers, dust dribbling around us. I withstood an assault by Prof's spears, grunting as one stabbed me in the shoulder. My motivator-aided healing powers let me recover. Megan stepped in, shielding me, but judging by the sweat dripping down her face, she was wearing down. I felt it too. Using the powers like this was taxing. We braced ourselves, waiting for another attack from Prof. My gun clicked as Megan reloaded it, and I looked to her. "Another attack?" she whispered. I wasn't sure anymore. I tried to force out a reply, but then the ceiling caved in on us. I stumbled, looking up, but Megan managed to turn the Irtych to stop the sudden torrent of stone and dust. Garish sunlight streamed down out of the hole Prof had made, as wide as the entire cavern. I blinked, unaccustomed to the light, and looked at Prof, who had stepped out of the way of the downpour and now stood under the lip in shadow.
"Fire," he said.
Only then did I notice that surrounding the perfect hole about 30 feet above was a squadron of 50 men and women. They carried flamethrowers. 46. Flames rained down toward us. They'd been prepared for this. We hadn't been forcing Prof to retreat. He'd been leading us by the nose. The Ortich vanished as the flames surrounded us. Megan's images and shadows all snapped together, and there was suddenly one crisp version of her, lit by firelight. She threw herself to the ground as the sheets of flame fell. "No!" I screamed, thrusting my hand toward her, my glove flashing. I couldn't afford to be bad at force fields, not now. I strained, like I was stretching to carry too heavy a weight. Blessedly, a glowing protective dome appeared around Megan, blocking the flames. She pressed her hands against the shield I'd created, eyes wide as the entire thing was bathed in fire. I stumbled back from the heat, my hand in front of my face. The fires got awfully close, but the burns I took healed. Up above, men and women began firing automatic weapons. I screamed, releasing the tensor power and vaporizing the weapons in a wave of dust. Guns and flamethrowers crumbled. The gap above widened, raining down salt. And then people, as their footing vanished beneath them. The fires stopped falling, but the damage was done. Pools of liquid flame burned in the now open cavern floor, curling black tongues of smoke toward the sky. It was so hot, sweat beaded on my forehead. Megan's powers would be worthless in here. I blinked against the dust and smoke as Prof emerged from the shadows, grim, bloodied, but still not afraid. Sparks. Still not afraid.
"Did you think I wouldn't have a plan?" he said to me softly. "Did you think I wouldn't prepare for Megan and her powers?"
His feet ground against salt dust as he walked past a groaning soldier.
"That's what you forget, David. A wise man always has a plan."
"Sometimes the plans don't work," I snapped. "Sometimes careful preparation isn't enough."
"And so you storm in, taking no care?"
he shouted, startlingly angry.
"Sometimes you just have to act, Prof. Sometimes you don't know what you need until you're in the thick of it."
"That doesn't give you an excuse to upend another man's life. Doesn't give you an excuse to ignore everyone else to follow your own stupid passions. Doesn't excuse your complete lack of control."
I roared, building a crescendo of tensor power. I didn't aim it toward the ground or the walls. I hurled it toward him. A charge of raw power. A vessel for my frustration, my anger. Nothing was working. Everything was falling apart. It hit him, and he leaned back as if struck by something physical. Buttons on his shirt disintegrated. Then Prof yelled and sent a blast of tensor power at me in return. I hit it with my own. The two slammed against one another like discordant sounds, and the cavern shook, stone rippling as if it were made of water. Vibrations washed over me. The gun in my hand crumbled to dust, as did the tensor glove on the hand holding it. But the blast didn't reach the rest of me. Still, the shock of it knocked me off my feet. I groaned and rolled over. Prof was there, looming above me. He reached down and grabbed the three boxes on the front of my vest, ripping them free of the fabric, removing the motivators from the tensor suit.
"These," he said, "belong to me."
"No." He backhanded me, a powerful blow that sent me sprawling across the rock and dust. I came to rest near Megan, who was out of her protective dome. I was no longer holding the power to maintain it. She stood in the firelight, raised her gun in two hands, and shot at Prof. A meaningless popping. Prof didn't even seem to care. I lay there with my arm buried in the mottled dust of the floor.
"You're fools,"
Prof said, tossing the motivators aside.
"Both of you."
Better a fool than a coward, I hissed. At least I've tried to do something. Tried to change things.
You've tried, and you've failed, David, Prof said, stepping forward as Megan ran out of bullets. I could hear the anguish in his voice. Look at you! You couldn't defeat me! You've failed!
I rose to my knees, then settled back, feeling suddenly drained. Megan sank down beside me, burned, exhausted. Perhaps it was the lack of the harm's way to prop me up. Perhaps it was the knowledge that at last we were done. But I didn't have the energy to rise. I barely had the energy to speak. We've been beaten, yes, Megan said. But we haven't failed, Jonathan. Failure is refusing to fight. Failure is remaining quiet and hoping someone else will fix the problem. I met his eyes. He stood about 5 feet before us in the cavern, which was now more of a crater. Ildithia's creeping salt crystals had begun to crawl over the rim of the hole, crusting over the sides. If other soldiers were up there, they'd wisely taken cover. Prof's face was a network of cuts. Injuries from debris blown by our violent explosion of tensor power, which had temporarily negated his force fields. As if in defiance of my hopes, those wounds started to heal. Megan. Megan was right. Something glimmered in my memories. Refusing to act, I said to Prof. Yes, that's failure, Prof. Like, perhaps, refusing to enter a contest, even though you dearly wanted the prize? He stopped right in front of me. Tia had told me a story about him when we were in Babalar. He'd wanted desperately to visit NASA, but wouldn't enter the contest that might have won him the chance. Yes, I said. You never entered. Were you afraid to lose, Prof? Or were you afraid to win?
How do you know about that?
He demanded with a roar, summoning 100 lines of light around him. Tia told me, I said, climbing to my knees, placing my hand on Megan's shoulder for support. It was starting to click. You've always been like this, haven't you? You founded the Reckoners, but refused to push them too far. Refused to face the most powerful epics. You wanted to help, Prof, but you weren't willing to take the last step. I blinked. You were afraid. The lines around him faded. The powers are part of it, I said, but not the whole story. Why do you fear them? He blinked.
Because I...
Because if you are so powerful, Megan whispered, if you have all of these resources, then you don't have any excuses left for failing. He started weeping, then gritted his teeth and reached for me. You've failed, Prof, I said. The force fields faded, and he stumbled. Tia's dead, Megan added. You failed her.
Shut up!
The wounds on his face stopped healing.
Shut up, both of you!
You killed your team in Babalar, I said. You failed them. He lunged forward and seized me by the shoulders, knocking Megan aside. But he was trembling, tears streaming from his eyes. You were strong, I told him. You have powers no others can match. And still you failed. You failed so deeply, Prof.
I can't have, he whispered.
You did. You know you did. I braced myself in his grip, preparing for the lie I spoke next. We killed Larsener, Prof. You can't complete Regalia's plan. It doesn't matter if I die. You failed. He dropped me. I stumbled up to my feet, but he sank to his knees.
Failed,
he whispered. Blood dripped from his chin.
I was supposed to be a hero. I've had so much power. And I still failed.
Megan limped up beside me, ashen-faced, rubbing her cheek where Prof had hit her.
Hell,
she whispered. It worked. I looked at Prof. He still wept. But when he turned his face toward me, I saw pure loathing in his eyes. Hatred for me, for this situation, for being made a weak, common mortal. No, I said, my stomach sinking. He didn't face it. We'd found the true weakness. Tia had been wrong. His fear was something deeper than just the powers, though they, and his competence as a whole, were certainly part of that. He was afraid of stepping up, of becoming everything he could be. Not because the powers themselves frightened him, but because if he tried, then the failure was far, far worse. At least if he held something back and failed, he could tell himself it wasn't completely his fault, or that it was part of the plan, that he'd always intended for it to go this way. Only if he gave his all, only if he was using every resource he had, would the failure be complete. What a terrible burden the powers were. I could see how they'd become a focus for him, how they represented the whole of his competence, and how they also represented his potential for true failure. Megan pressed something into my hand. Her gun. I regarded it, then, my arm feeling like lead. I raised it to Prof's head.
"Do it," he growled. "Do it, you bastard!"
My hand was steady, my aim unwavering, as I rested my finger on the trigger. And remembered. Another day, in a steel room, with a woman I'd driven to rage. Me kneeling on a gridiron battlefield. My father, his back to the bank pillar, in the shadow of a deity. "No," I said, turning away. Megan didn't object. She joined me. Together, we walked away from Prof.
"Who's the coward now?"
he demanded, kneeling in shadows and flickering firelight, weeping.
"David Charleston, killer of epics! You're supposed to stop me!"
"That," a new voice said, "can be arranged."
I turned, completely astonished, as Larsener strolled from the shadows of a stone overhang nearby. Had he been there all along? It defied reason, but... He reached Prof and lightly rested his fingers on the man's neck. Prof screamed, going stiff.
"Like ice water in the veins, I'm told," Larsener said.
I charged toward them across the open cavern.
"What are you doing?"
"Ending your problem," Larsener said, holding on to Prof. "You wish me to stop?"
I
swallowed. "Too late anyway," Larsener said, pulling his fingers away and inspecting them. He looked into Prof's eyes. "Excellent. It worked this time. I did need to check after our little problem with your girlfriend." He looked up at the sky, then glared at the sunlight, stepping back into the shadows. Sparks. The sun was low on the horizon. It had to be at least 5 by now. I hadn't realized we'd been fighting so long. I knelt down beside Prof. He was staring ahead, looking stunned. I prodded him softly, but he didn't move, didn't even blink.
"It's a good solution, David," Megan said, joining me. "It's either this or kill him."
I looked into those sightless eyes, and nodded. She was right. But I couldn't help feeling that I'd failed in some monumental way. I'd fought Prof to a halt, figured out his weakness, and negated his powers. Yet he hadn't pushed back the darkness. We could have found another method, right? Kept his weakness engaged until he came to himself. I wanted to weep. But strangely, I felt too tired even for that. "Let's go find the others," I said, rising. I pulled off the vest, still with wires attached for the motivators. We'd need to get the harm's way running again to heal Abraham. I set it beside the metal boxes that held the motivators. Then I scanned the sky, hoping to spot one of Nighthawk's drones. A flash of light. Obliteration's hand fell on my shoulder.
"Well done," he said. "The beast is vanquished. It is time for me to make good on my promise."
We vanished. 47. We appeared on a barren cliff, overlooking a scrub desert with sweltering air that smelt of baked earth. Red rocks peeked from the soil, displaying a variety of strata, like pancakes piled high. Behind me, something glowed brightly. I turned and raised my hand, squinting at it.
"A bomb," Obliteration said, "made of my own flesh. My son, you might say."
"You used one of these to destroy Kansas City."
"Yes," he said, subdued. "I cannot travel well when full of energy. I must sun myself in the place I am to destroy. But that creates a conundrum. The more my notoriety grows, the more people flee my presence. And so..."
"And so you took Regalia's offer. Your flesh in exchange for a weapon."
"This one was for Atlanta," he said, then rested his hand on my shoulder in an almost paternal way. "I give it to you, Steel Slayer, for your hunt. Can you use this to destroy the king above, the epic of epics?"
"I don't know," I said, eyes watering against the light. Sparks, I was so tired, drained, wrung out like a threadbare dish rag so full of holes it was good for nothing more than propping up the corner of your wobbly kitchen table. "But if anything can do it, that will." Even powerful high epics had been known to fall to overwhelming outpourings of energy like nukes or Obliteration's own destructive force.
"I will take you and it to the palace above," he said. "The New Jerusalem. Detonate the bomb with this."
He handed me a small rod, kind of pen-like, which was startlingly familiar. A universal detonator. I'd had one of these once. "Could I... maybe do it from down here?" I asked. Obliteration laughed.
"You ask if you may set aside your cup? Only natural. But no, you must face this in person. I have extended your life to perform this act because I know its result. The detonator has a short range."
I gripped the detonator in a sweaty palm. A death sentence, then. Perhaps the bomb would have been rigged with a timer, but I doubted Obliteration would agree to that. I didn't even get to say goodbye to Megan, I thought, feeling sick. Yet here was the chance I'd insisted I sought. An ending. "Can I... think about it?"
"For a short time," he said, checking the sky. "But not long. He will soon rise, and we cannot let him see what we are planning."
I sat down, trying to clear my mind, trying to recover some strength and confront the opportunity I'd been handed. I tried to sort through it. Prof defeated, but drained of powers.
He'd seemed so numb when I'd looked at him, as if he'd been hit by some strong blow to the head. He'd recover, right? Some assumers left their prey stunned, even brain dead, after their powers were taken. Those people recovered when the powers were restored. But Larsener never gave back what he stole. How had I never considered that? Sparks, how had I missed Prof's weakness? His timid planning, the way he looked for excuses to give away his powers and mitigate failures? It all pointed to his fears. All along, he'd been unwilling to fully commit.
Well, Obliteration finally asked, we have no more time.
I didn't feel any more rested, despite the breather. I'll go, I whispered, hoarse.
I will do it.
Well chosen.
He led me to the bomb that I assumed had been placed here in this wasteland to gather heat from the sun. I moved closer to it and got a sense of its shape. A metal box about the size of a footlocker. It wasn't hot, though it seemed as if it should be. Obliteration knelt and put one hand on it, the other he placed on my arm.
You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Farewell, Steel Slayer.
My breath caught as I was seized in the flash of light. A second later, I found myself looking down at Earth. I barely heard the crash behind me as Obliteration left, abandoning me. I was in space. I knelt on what appeared to be a surface of glass, looking down at a gloriously stomach-twisting sight. The Earth in its splendor, surrounded by a haze of atmosphere and clouds. So peaceful. From up here, my daily concerns seemed insignificant. I tore my eyes away from that sight to look around, though I had to put my back to the bomb and squint to make anything out over its light. I was in some kind of building or ship with glass walls. I stumbled to my feet, noting the walls' rounded corners and a distant red light somewhere in this glassy structure. Then I realized that despite the fact that I was all the way up in space, my feet remained planted on the surface beneath me. I would have expected to float. The bomb shone like a star behind me. I fingered the detonator. Should I do it now? No. No, I needed to see him first, up close. He glowed crimson, bright as the bomb, but was somewhere ahead of me in the ship, his light refracting through corners and surfaces of glass. My eyes were gradually adjusting, and I noticed a doorway. I stumbled toward it, as the floor was uneven, lined with ladder-like grips and bars. The walls were also uneven, made of different compartments filled with wires and levers, only it was all glass. I passed through a corridor, with difficulty. There was something etched into one wall, and I ran my hand over it. English letters? I could read them, some kind of company name, it seemed. Sparks! I was in the old International Space Station, but it had been transformed into glass. Feeling an unreal disconnect, I continued toward the light. The glass was so clear, I could almost believe that it wasn't there. I stumbled through room after room, my arm out to make sure I didn't walk into a wall, and the red light grew larger. I eventually stepped into one last room. It was bigger than the others I'd passed through. And Calamity waited on the far side, facing away from me, I thought, though he was so bright it was difficult to make out much about him. Arm raised against the light, I clutched the detonator tighter. I was being stupid. I should have blown the bomb. Calamity might kill me the moment he saw me. Who knew what powers this being had? But I had to know, had to see him with my own eyes. I had to meet the thing that had ruined my world. I walked through the room, Calamity's light dimmed. My breath caught in my throat, and I tasted bile. What would the people below think? Calamity going out? The light lowered to a faint glow, revealing a young man in a simple robe with red glowing skin. He turned to face me, and I knew him.
"Hello, David,"
Larsener said. 48. "You," I whispered. "You were down below, with us all along."
"Yes," Larsener said, turning to regard the world. "I can project a decoy of myself. You know this. You even mentioned the power on several occasions."
I reeled, trying to connect it all. He'd been with us. Calamity had been living with us. "Why? What?" Larsener sighed, a shockingly human sound. Annoyance, an emotion I'd felt from him quite often.
"I keep looking at it," he said, "trying to find what you see in it."
I hesitantly stepped up beside him. "The world?"
"It's broken, terrible, horrid."
"Yeah," I said softly. "Beautiful." He looked at me, narrowing his eyes. "You're the source of it all," I said, resting my fingers on the glass in front of me. "You... all along, the powers you stole from other epics?"
"I simply took back what I once gave,"
he said.
"Everyone was so quick to believe in an epic who could steal abilities, they never realized they'd had it backward. I'm no thief. Larsener, they called me. Petty."
He shook his head. I swallowed, blinking. "Why?" I asked Calamity. "Please tell me. Why have you done this?" He mused, hands clasped behind him. It was Larsener. Not only the same face, but the same mannerisms. The same way he sniffed before speaking, as if forming words to speak with me were beneath him.
"You are to destroy yourselves," he said quietly. "I am but the harbinger. I bring the powers. You use them and orchestrate your own end. It is what we have done in countless realms. I'm told."
"You're told by who?"
"It is a wonderful place," he said, as if he hadn't heard me. "You wouldn't be able to comprehend it. Peace, softness, no terrible lights, no lights at all. We don't sense with horrid appendages like eyes. We live there, as one, until our duty arrives." He sneered. "And this is mine. So I came here and left it all, and exchanged it for..."
"Harsh lights," I said. "Loud sounds. The pain of heat, of sensation."
"Yes,"
he said. "Those aren't my nightmares," I said, raising my hand to my head. "They're yours. Sparks, they're all yours, aren't they?"
"Don't be foolish, babbling about your silly notions again."
I stumbled back, catching myself on a boxy protrusion from the wall. I could see it in my nightmares. Visions of being born in this world, a place so foreign to Calamity. To his senses, a terrible place. The harsh lights of my nightmares were no more than common ceiling lights. The clatter and yells, people talking, or the thumps of furniture moving. The terrible nature of it was all in comparison to where he'd lived before. Another place, one I couldn't comprehend, one that lacked such intense stimuli. Were you supposed to leave us? I asked. Calamity didn't reply.
Calamity! After you granted our powers, were you supposed to leave?
Why would I remain in this terrible place longer than I had to? He said, dismissive.
In Megan's parallel world, I whispered. There you did leave, and the darkness never claimed the epics. Here, you remained, and you infected us somehow. Your hatred, your loathing. You turned each epic into a copy of you, Calamity.
Megan had said that her fear of flames hadn't been nearly as pronounced before her powers arrived. My fear of the depths had started once his eyes turned upon me. Whatever Calamity did, whatever he was, when he wormed his way into someone, he magnified their terrors to an unnatural level. And when people were exposed to those fears, the things he hated, Calamity withdrew. Gone were the powers, and gone was the darkness. Confronting the fears, that worked into it too somehow. It had to. When you confronted your fears, what happened?
They are mine, Megan had said. I claim them.
Sparks! Did that mean she had seized the powers and cast out Calamity fully? Separated them from the darkness?